Hey, good morning, everybody, from the studios of Grand Forks Best Source. It is time now for your Berkshire Hathaway bi-weekly podcast. And standing by, realty expert Adam Helgeson, and we're going to talk with Adam right after this.
What would tomorrow look like if you sold your house today? Maybe you'd move to a new city or a new country. Maybe you'd pick up birding or birdies. You could get into wine, not that into wine, or skiing. Warmer skiing. Or maybe you'd spend more time doing nothing at all. When you're ready for whatever comes next, we'll be ready to help you get there. Berkshire Hathaway Home Services.
And here we are. We are back with your Berkshire Hathaway bi-weekly podcast, and Adam Helgeson is in the house. Woot, woot, woot. How you doing, man?
Not too bad.
Yeah? You fighting a little head cold, are you?
I am. Yeah. It's just
that sucks negative. This time of the year, doesn't it?
It does.
90 degrees out, and you got a head cold.
I don't know if it's allergies or...
Well, that could be, too.
What the hell it is.
Yeah, but otherwise, how's life?
Good.
Good, good, good. Summer's going well?
Yeah, been hanging out, doing softball with the daughter.
And oh, sure.
Did the state tournament last weekend. We were in Fargo again last night for doubleheaders. So.
Wow, traveling. You're just a traveling man.
On the road all the time.
Yeah. You know, with the way the country's going right now, things, I've seen them better. But, you know, people are always talking, oh, we're going to be in another recession, blah, blah, blah. Now, is there another recession coming in the housing market? What do you think?
Possibly.
Okay.
But not in this neck of the woods.
Okay. Oh, okay.
You know, even if you remember back in 2008 when the market crashed with Fannie and Freddie and all that, Florida, Arizona, a lot of these places got just killed.
Yep.
Up here was thriving.
Good.
You know, it didn't affect us really at all. Now, with the interest rate change, we've seen it tick up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the market was absolutely insane January through April. And that's because these people were trying to lock in these 2.5 to 2.8.
Sure.
You know, interest rates. So that made the market just go crazy.
Yeah, of course.
So now that the rates have dropped a little bit or went up a little bit, it slowed down the housing market. But now the rates have gone down. They've been fluctuating, but they have gone down a little bit more. I want to say they're mid fours. Office is trying to call me. So... But what people don't realize is when the interest rates were crazy low, right? They were paying 15, 20 grand over asking price.
Sure, right, right.
Well, now that the rates are a little higher, you can get the house for a little less.
Okay.
When on your payment, that's only like a $10 difference.
Right, right.
So when it comes down to it, there's less competition. Your payments are still the same. Mm-hmm. So I don't think the higher rates are going to scare that many North Dakotans. Plus, up here, the businesses and stuff we have, sustaining the major corporations. We have Altru.
Mm-hmm.
We have the Air Force Base.
Yeah.
We have Simplot.
Crystal Sugar.
Crystal Sugar.
Cross the River.
Yeah.
Lots of big businesses.
Soon to be Fufeng, maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah. An asphalt plant, maybe. I know that's a touchy subject. But all these things... really put an effect on the housing market locally.
Mm-hmm.
So with the air base, there's always going to be people transferring in and out.
Sure.
Now, they do have the ability to live on the base if they want, but a lot of them don't.
Mm-hmm.
All true. There's always, you know, doctors and nurses coming in and out.
Yep.
I've worked with quite a few Simplot employees coming in and out, getting transferred. I didn't realize how big Simplot was. That's a worldwide company.
Sure it is.
It's huge.
Mm-hmm.
So just having that in our backyard is going to keep the real estate market alive up here. So.
You know, you mentioned 2008, and what actually caused that? I mean, was it over-anxious lenders or people taking out money they thought they could afford to pay, and then they found out they couldn't? Or what caused that whole thing in 2008?
It was a mix. A lot of it was the banks giving out loans with too high of a debt-to-income ratio. So they were unable to afford the house and the payments, and it just escalated out of control, and it just finally gave out. So
then what happens? All of a sudden, there's hundreds or if not thousands of houses being foreclosed on, and So then those houses end up going for way cheaper, or how does that work?
Yeah, so if a house gets foreclosed on, usually we get they send it out to an agent to go kind of do a market analysis on it and send it to the bank. And the bank just determines, okay, what should we do? You know, what's the condition of the house? Do we cut our losses? Do we, you know, throw it on auction? So yeah, the bank wants their money back too. And that's why they do appraisals, because they want to make sure that they're only lending you what the house is worth. So that way, if they do have to foreclose on it. But a lot of people in those times too, they're like, well, hell, the bank's taking my house. Screw the bank. They're ripping all the copper out. They're pulling wires, you know, destroying cabinets. So they were like, screw you. So the houses were in disrepair too. So
not only were buyers losing their homes and losing out, but so were the lenders, really, when you think about it. Okay. And that's not going to happen around here, though.
No, I can't see that happening. Now, I mean, a lot of the lenders are national, but it shouldn't affect us up here at all. You know, they know we have a good economy. I mean, our unemployment rate's like 3%.
Yeah.
And to be honest, North Dakotans, we're pretty smart with our money.
I think so.
We're not going to overpay for stuff. We're a lot of us don't live outside our means. So I think it's going to stay pretty strong up here.
Now, so what ends up happening? All kinds of people buying houses that needed a bunch of work down in Florida, but ended up with probably a nice winter getaway.
Yes, I know there was a lot of farmers around Crookston that bought Arizona houses and stuff around that time frame, because they were getting beautiful houses with pools and stuff for like 120 grand.
Yeah, isn't that something?
Insane. I wish I would have jumped in on that bandwagon.
Yeah.
I was a little too young to.
Yeah, and at that time, I can remember it, because all I knew about was my 401k, you know, and just watching it drop and drop and drop. But you always got to remember, it's just a bump in the road, you know, one step forward, two steps back, three steps forward, and usually it comes around.
It should. I know I was talking to a guy the other day. He lost over 12 grand in crypto.
Oh, boy.
So he's like, well, that kind of put a damper on my home searching. And so, I mean, this inflation, this economy is taking an effect on a lot of people, and the high-end fancy stuff is not selling as much, in my opinion.
Now, in your opinion, what will get us over this so-called recession?
An election?
I got to do that. You know, that was the answer I was hoping for.
Yeah. Yeah.
We did a show yesterday, and a couple of people commented via text saying, wait for the election, wait for the election, and see what happens. But it's amazing how things could be so good, and within a matter of a year or two, just turned so bad. You know, we look at approval ratings of presidents and things like that, but that's for a different show. But that is pretty much what we need, though.
It is. You know, they were keeping the rates low. Mm-hmm. To help with COVID and stuff. And the rates now are not bad.
No, they're not.
And at mid fours is still a damn good rate.
Mm-hmm.
When you think back, talk to your parents. So they have probably had 12 to 20% rates on some of their houses. Now, granted, the houses were a lot cheaper back then.
Sure.
You know, a $200,000 house now was 80 back then.
Yeah.
But the rates kind of make up for it.
Well, I remember taking my first loan out in 1981, and it was 21% in 1981. And what are they now?
4.5.
Yeah, yeah.
So you took out your first loan when I was born.
Yeah. I had to buy my first guitar. Oh, it ended up being a very expensive guitar.
I guess so.
I was in high school at the time working at Mickey D's, you know, and it probably took me 3 years to pay off that loan, but I think it took me longer than my first car loan. But I had my guitar. I dealt with the interest rates. And of course, within a couple of years after I bought it, then they went way down again. But that's just the kind of way it goes.
Yeah. And you got to think now, purchasing real estate is an investment too.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. You know, some of the richest people in America got their wealth from real estate investing.
Yep. Yep.
Now, that shouldn't be your retirement plan by any means, but you usually can't go wrong with, you know, a real estate investment.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with that being said, I talk to people too that buy a house and then they want to sell in 3 years and they didn't do a damn thing to it.
Yeah.
It's deteriorated. And they're like, well, the market went up. I'm like, yeah, but you still have to do routine maintenance.
Sure.
You know, just like your car. If you drive your car for 5 years and don't change the oil at all, you know, or rotate the tires or do anything to it, it's not going to be worth as much when you come to sell it.
Mm-hmm.
So the same thing goes with the house. You got to do your routine maintenance and make sure it's...
Yeah, the only difference shape. From when you bought it was you paid 3 years of your mortgage off it, and that's it. Yep. Nothing's changed.
Yep, exactly.
And, so. And you know, first impressions mean a lot. It doesn't matter if you're looking for a pet, a car, or a house. And these are things that you just have to do. I mean, for one thing, to make the house last, these are the things you got to do, let alone try to sell it.
Yeah, well, and every case is a little different. Mm-hmm. Like I listed one yesterday up by Northwood. It's a 4.5-acre property. And the guy ended up having back surgery. So he hadn't been able to upkeep this property as he had liked. And he's like, I just want to get it now. So I snapped a picture from the road with my phone, which I never do.
Mm-hmm.
Has a roll-off dumpster in the front yard full of crap. And I'm like, well, I mean, we'll get it online. It was against my judgment. Mm-hmm. But, you know... he just wants to get her gone.
And, so. And you know, you're the kind of guy, you're willing, even if it's not and maybe in your best interest, you are still the kind of guy, though, that helps people.
Yeah.
And, you know, you kind of feel bad for the guy down and out, you know, having some problems with the back and everything. But that's where you step in and try to do the best you can with your job.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's what we do is take care of clients and. Yeah, sorry, that's my phone.
Oh, that's you.
Yeah, I'll hang up. I don't know who it is. So yeah, we go above and beyond. Like just before I met here, I met with a lady. She was doing for sale by owner, and she's like, you know, I gave myself a month, and I thought I had it sold a couple times. And in negotiation, she's like, I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm doing up the paperwork. I'm gonna get it listed here this week.
Do you find more and more people do that? Because there's a lot of people I know that have tried to sell on their own. Some people are successful. The majority of them are not.
Yeah, I mean, if you can do it, that's great. But you're not doing yourself any justice because on a lot of these websites, it shows up, right? Mm-hmm. And now. Let's say you tried to sell it and you either had it overpriced or underpriced or whatever because you don't know what you're doing. Like I had one guy tell me, I'm pretty sure I know what I'm doing. My ex-wife was a realtor. I'm like, oh, that's awesome.
Oh, yeah. You know, because the ex-wives tell you everything.
Yeah. And he was, I did my market analysis and he was about $25,000 high. But, you know, now that's going to show up on like Zillow and all those, the listings. And I mean, you're not doing yourself any justice.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'll admit I did one for sale by owner before I came an agent just because I wanted to see and mm-hmm. I got bombarded by agents leaving me gift cards in my mailbox and all sorts of crap trying to get me to list with them. And I ended up selling it to a first-time home buyer. I had to teach him how to start a lawnmower. He had never bought a house before. So it was interesting. I still go over there every once in a while and help him with stuff like his gate broke because I built my own fence, built my own deck at that place and everything. And the the wind caught the gate that broke, so he called me and said, can you come fix this? I'm like, yeah, I'll come.
Wow. So, you go above and beyond all the time, don't you?
Nah, I don't know.
Yeah. I was going to say, you didn't know how to start a lawnmower. Was it my kid?
Yeah, no. really nice young Asian guy. Okay. College professor at UND, and he's always just had apartments and everything. So mm-hmm. he's...
Tell you what, it's a big step going from an apartment to your first house.
It is.
And there's a lot of things people don't realize, the snow removal, the mowing, the fixing uppers, you know, and fixing things. But that's also the beauty of owning your own home. You can do whatever you want.
Yeah, speaking of that, I was a little upset because I had shoveled and moved over 7,000 pounds of rock by hand doing all my landscaping at that place. And as soon as he moved in, he ripped it all out and put mulch and bonsai trees. And I'm like...
Bonsai trees.
That was like a lot of work I did there. And
just bonsai trees, they grow around here outside?
Oh, I don't know if it's bonsai trees. But
they look like them.
Yeah, something like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not a horticulturist.
Okay.
That's a big word.
You're a farm kid, though.
I am.
Yeah, you guys didn't plant bonsai trees?
No, we didn't farm bonsai trees.
I didn't think so. You're going to be sticking around. We got a show coming up a little bit later on that you might be involved a little bit with. But so we don't really need to worry that much up here about another recession coming into the housing market. Not in this neck of the woods.
I wouldn't. You know, if you're kind of scared thinking, you know, should I wait to buy a house? You know what I mean? I would start looking now. You know, it's the rates are still good. The market's still strong. At least consult an agent and talk about what you want to do and talk with your lender and go from there. At least check it out. I wouldn't be scared right now.
Now, if somebody wants to consult with realty expert Adam Helgeson, how do they get a hold of you, man?
The best way is my cell phone. You can call me 701-317-1750. You can check out my website, homesbyhelgeson.com, or call any of us real estate experts at Berkshire Hathaway at 746-0303.
All right. Thank you very much, realty expert Adam Helgeson. He's going to stick around here. And again, your Berkshire Hathaway biweekly podcast. Adam will be back on Friday. So until a little bit later on this morning or Friday, from the studios of Grand Forks Best Source, that's your Berkshire Hathaway biweekly podcast.